show that seeks the truth. This is the Gary Doyle Show on 570 News.
Quick, show of hands. How many people out there suffer back pain? I'm figuring about 9 out of 10 either raise their hands or not. If you raised your hands, really, think about it. 9 out of 10, I think, is the number of people that suffer back pain at some point. I was treated a few years ago for sciatica, and I got to tell you, that's no fun at all. I remember telling my doctor a few years ago that my back was getting ugly again, and she suggested this because my front was getting ugly again. So we all have our stuff, but how do we help ourselves? How do we, before we end up in either traction or the chiropractor, or how can we help ourselves avoid back pain? Esther Gokhale joins us. She's the author of a book called 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back. I got to tell you, Esther, on some days those 8 steps are hard to take, aren't they?
It's the 8 steps out of bed. You feel
yeah, well, just getting out of bed some days is a little bit tricky.
It's hard for a lot of people. Like you say, 9 out of 10 people have trouble with back pain at some point in their lives.
Why?
Well, the message I have for people is that it doesn't have to be so. There are people in the world who don't suffer much back pain at all. There are whole populations that have 5% incidence or 10% incidence. And it isn't rocket science. We can all learn to be like that.
But, you know, I've been working out with a trainer since last May now, so we're almost coming up on a year. And one of the first things he said to me, and I'm 51, one of the worst things he said to me, he says, "Your posture sucks. No wonder you've got back problems." Is he right?
Well, he's enlightened in recognizing that posture is a very important issue. What he may or may not be right about is what constitutes good posture. Because we, in our culture, we've sort of taken a wrong turn, and what we think of as a way to improve our posture sometimes does more harm than good.
Okay.
So
give me a little more on that one, because quite often, you know, I think what one of the issues I have, besides the fact that weight is an issue, is I sit down for a living.
See, we blame things like our extra weight and our sedentary lifestyle. And, you know, if you're 300 pounds, yes, weight is an issue. But if you've just got a little bit of extra out in front, like you're describing, it may not be the crucial factor. And sedentary lifestyle, you know, we blame sitting all the time. But sitting is actually a really healthy activity if you do it well. And this is something that I say that's very surprising to people. I don't agree that sitting is the problem. If you sit well, if you sit with your back stretched up against the backrest, or if you sit with your pelvis in the right position, there should be no problem at all from sitting. Of course, you need to be active. You know, once in a while, you need to get up and get a glass of water, and you need to have some physical activity in your life.
That sounds pretty simple. How can you be bad at sitting?
How can you be bad? Well, a lot of people slouch, they recognize the problem in their upper body, and they try to fix it by bringing their shoulders back and sitting up straight, and usually that constitutes tensing up the low back. And what they really need to pay attention to is the way the foundation is positioned, the way the pelvis is positioned. See, most people kind of sit on their tail. You know, they have their tails between their legs as they sit. And that's the equivalent of that is trying to build a building with the foundation poorly positioned. And, you know, if you do that, if you build your foundation poorly, you're just going to keep having trouble up higher. And you need to learn what is the right position for your pelvis. So, you know, tail out behind you is what I teach.
Tail out, I'm trying that right now. So basically, yeah, you have to sit up straight in your chair. Like, slouching is not an option.
Slouching is not a good habit. But sitting up straight with a lot of effort and by tightening up your low back and pulling your shoulders back isn't a good option either. So should I guide you on what I think would be?
Yeah, you should, because now I'm concerned. I thought I knew how to sit.
All right, so we're going to start you out. Do you happen to have a towel or a flannel sheet or a sweater or something you can kind of stick behind you on your chair?
No, sadly I don't. I'm not in my own studio
today.
I'm
going to describe it, and then you can try this later. So
okay.
What you want to do is make sure that there's some part of the chair that sticks out around your mid-back, okay? So you can just stick a towel there. And if you're lucky and your chair is the right shape, maybe your chair will support you for what I'm going to describe. So the next thing you do is you want to elongate your back. So you've got your bottom back in the chair, you know?
Right.
And then you curve your upper body a little bit forward, and you grab the chair someplace with your hands. Maybe you just push down on the seat, or maybe you grab the sidebars, or you grab the back. But you want to push down to make your back a little taller than it usually is.
Okay, I'm with you.
With me?
I'm with you.
Perfect. Now, while it's a little taller, you want to glue it to the backrest of your chair. And then let go. And so then, in that way, the backrest is going
to
keep your back a little taller than it usually is, a little longer.
Okay, I think I see what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels unnatural, though, you know, because it's not how I usually sit.
Correct. It's not habitual. Any change is going to feel strange. And so you want to navigate, you know, you want to make change anyway, even if it feels strange. As long as it makes sense to you and it works well, that's a good strange feeling to have, right?
Yeah.
So you elongated your back, you glue yourself to the backrest, and then you let go, and your backrest is holding you up a little taller. And what you've got now is that your vertebrae are slightly separated from each other. And you've got room for the nerves to exit between the vertebrae, so they're not getting pinched and jammed and causing sciatic pain and other kinds of problems.
Gotcha.
So
I got to tell you, though, but I'm sure if anybody that's been treated for sciatica knows exactly what I'm talking about. That ain't fun.
It is so not fun. I came at this the hard way with sciatic pain as well. L5,
okay.
S1, herniation, pain down my left leg. Waking up every 2 hours at night to walk around the block. I didn't want to take pain medications because I was nursing my baby, and I just suffered tremendously. And it's so unnecessary. And it's because we, you know, if we sit all day kind of squishing all the lower discs,
yeah,
then sure, they're going to get into trouble sometime.
Now, in my office, which, you know, is a long way from me right now, I have one of those Obus Form back supports in my chair.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, that is the most comfortable I've ever been. I wish I could just carry that around with me for every chair I have.
Oh, good for you that you found something that works. Most of the backrests are made to support what's considered to be a natural lumbar curvature. Like, we think we're supposed to have a whole, you know, an S-shaped curved spine, you know, extra lumbar curvature, and then we're sometimes given a cervical roll, you know, because we're supposed to have a neck curvature too.
Right.
What I teach is that isn't really as natural as we think it is. That is something that in recent years we have come to think is the normal shape for the spine. But if you go back in time, if you go to the beginning of the 20th century and you look at anatomy books and you look at the shape of the spine in those anatomy books, it looks very different. It doesn't have an S-shaped curve. It's more like a J. And the lumbar spine is actually quite straightened out until you get way down low, where the behind sticks behind, so that the shape is more like a J than an S, you know?
Gotcha,
pretty straight, and then the behind sticks behind, so it's kind of like a J, whereas we think today that we're supposed to have an S-shaped curve in the spine, and we use all these supports in the low back and so on, and it can feel comfortable for the muscles, but in the long run, what you really want to do is stretch out that low back, so that your discs aren't getting worn and torn and damaged, and then, you know, we think that's just a normal part of aging. You know, it doesn't have to be. If you keep it all stretched out, then you're not going to wear out your discs, and you're not going to have sciatic pain, you're not going to have arthritic changes in your back.
Are we born with this, or are we born with good posture and develop bad habits?
almost everyone is born with excellent posture. You know, sometimes we have, you know, a few people have genetic problems, but almost everybody, every kid has really great posture. And if you think about the way a little kid stands up, you know what I mean about the behind sticking out behind, right?
Yep.
You have a picture in your mind. I mean, every little kid has their behind out behind them, right?
Right.
And
I'm guessing Jennifer Lopez has great posture then,
exactly.
Based on that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the kind of behind we need to all have, and we all used to have when we were little kids. And somewhere along the way...
I'm totally agree with you on that one. Yeah.
There we go. J-Lo butt is the way to go.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to get that put on a T-shirt. Is this a Western thing, Esther, or are other countries, are they just as bad as we are, or are they better?
It's a modern thing. You know,
okay.
It's modern industrialized countries have gotten into these wayward ways of dealing with the spine and so on, and a description of the spine that isn't really natural. But if you go to some countries, like certain countries in Africa, or you go to less industrialized countries, they have different shapes. You know, they have the same shapes that babies have and that we used to have. If you go back and look at old photographs, or you look at the Greek statues, you know, they all have these J-shaped spines. They have their behinds out behind them. And since these are the people who don't have back problems, we need to be looking at that.
So how did you develop this method, this Gokhale method? How did you, besides, clearly you had to because it's named after you, but how did you come across this?
Well, I came at it the hard way. I had trouble of my own, you know, sciatic pain, surgery when I was in my 20s, and then after 2 years of I was facing a second surgery, and so this wasn't any good at all. You know, when you're in your 20s, you've had multiple surgeries, not good. It doesn't look good getting old. So I researched a lot of systems that there were around. I was already an acupuncturist then, so I had also been seeing a lot of people with back issues and knee problems and shoulder problems and wondering why it is that human beings fall apart so much. You know, yes, you can fix them, and it's kind of a band-aid approach when you do chiropractic and acupuncture and so on, but you start to wonder, well, what's going on? And I came upon the work of a French yoga teacher. Her system is Aplomb, Noelle Perez, and she's done a lot of pioneering work in anthropologically informed posture work, and I studied with her, and I studied with other people and other techniques, Feldenkrais and Alexander technique, and sort of came to the conclusion that the best way to approach the body was to look at other cultures that have healthy posture and see what it is they're doing, and then my contribution is to help people get to where they want to go posturally in a very efficient way. So I teach people, you know, through my book, 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back, and also a course that I have in Palo Alto and increasingly elsewhere in the country, where we take people through 6 lessons or 8 steps in the book and help them first elongate their back and then reshape their back and then use their core strength in a different way than what most people are taught, you know.
Yeah.
Them and just get in the process, they get rid of their pains. And
so would you say your method then is, does it contradict traditional methods, or does it complement?
It's a complement to many methods. Like, it's a complement. It's a very basic approach. I think it's sort of pre-yoga and pre-exercise. And it is a very different description of what is normal in the spine from what's currently being done in physical therapy and chiropractic and most techniques. So it is rather revolutionary.
Okay, so explain to me that, because one of the things in your book that intrigued me was glide walking. It was almost like sliding on the ice. I do that naturally, but what exactly is glide walking?
Glide walking is a technique where you're using your glutes a lot to walk. You know, you don't just fall forward and stick your leg out to break your fall. You use your buttock muscles in a series. Like first your hamstrings, and then your gluteus maximus, and then your gluteus medius. And what that does is it propels you forward, and then allows you to land very softly. And that has all kinds of benefits. Like, you know, your joints get spared a sort of minor earthquake with every time you're landing. And you get to develop your glutes and develop your muscles, spare your joints. So it's a whole bunch of things, you know, that constitutes normal walking, the way your ancestors did.
So do you think this is part of the problem? The fact that we don't do this well, is this why we're having so many things like knees and hip replacements now?
Exactly. I think that's exactly it. You know, we look for all kinds of esoteric reasons, or we blame things that we can't change, you know, that we blame our sedentary lifestyle or our stress, and those are a little hard to change. But in fact, if people just learned really healthy ways of bending, of walking, they would spare themselves a lot of the troubles, you know, the arthritis, the plantar fasciitis, the shoulder problems, the stenosis, and so on. I think there's a lot of trouble that we face that has it's related to our posture.
But can we actually improve? Like, if we're already hurt, if we're already injured, if we're already in pain, can we recover from that, or can we just worsening it with your methods?
You can improve yourself remarkably. There are people who come in having had 20 years of pain, and after their first lesson of stretch sitting and stretch lying, or they read the book and they learn how to stretch lie and stretch sit, and I get emails saying, I'll be darned, my neck pain has gone away.
I'll be darned. Well, you talk about I'll be darned because you're an acupuncturist. I really did a number on my shoulder last year, and one of the treatments I went through in physio was acupuncture. And at my ripe old age, I was very skeptical that this was going to help me at all. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how my shoulder felt so much better because this guy stuck needles in the back of my hand.
Isn't it surprising?
Yeah, very surprising.
I know.
I just thought he was tuning a radio the way he was doing it. But I got to tell you, I felt a whole lot better. You know what? It's a great book. It's simple to read, and it's, to me, it looks like it's easy to do. And I think sometimes when it looks easy, we just get in the way and complicate it. So, Esther, thank you for explaining it to us today. The book is called 8 Steps to a Pain-Free Back. If you get a chance, do yourself a favor and check it out, or you can go online at wellstackback.com. Esther Gokhale, thank you.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Hey, have a good day. Bye-bye. Okay, so there. See, my back feels all better already. Just talking to her, and a burden has been lifted. This is 570 News.